The AC Podcast is a ministry of Apologetics Canada and is supported by the generous donations of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us in this ministry, please go to apologeticscanada.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the AC Podcast. This is Steve Kim.
Terry Crosby.
Just the two of us. Sorry, I'll never do that again.
We can make it if we try.
Indeed, we can make it if we try. So it's just the two of us today. Terry, let's jump right into it. What do you have for us today?
Yeah, this summer, my wife and I have been taking in some movies.
Oh.
Right? Big box office movies.
There are a lot of good movies coming out.
There is
out
a lot
lately,
of good movies.
Seems, yeah.
And so we've taken in quite a few just because our community group is not meeting on Wednesdays, so we have kind of a free date night.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you look at the movies, you know, coming out, and they are huge, as in dollar figures to make,
right,
and what they take in. Big scale. So I went and I was thinking, like, well, what movies made the least amount of money of all time? Okay? I mean,
all right. Let's hear
Steve, it. Steve, have you ever heard of Zy Zix Road in 2006?
No, never heard of it.
This is the number one movie that made the least amount of money, grossed the least amount of money.
Really? Okay.
What do you think they grossed?
Of, I don't know, $20,000? Okay, lower. $5,000. Really? What did it make?
$30. $30.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine if you were the producer of the movie?
Yeah.
You were the director and you're watching this thing flop.
Anyway, yeah. No, I've been enjoying the movie season so far, so there's some more coming out.
There are
Dark Tower. Have you seen that new one that is coming out in August?
No.
My wife is just on the edge for that one.
Okay.
Yeah, she's been reading all the books. I guess there's 7 books to it.
Oh, okay.
But she's excited about that one, so.
Yeah. I am actually planning on watching Dunkirk because I'm hearing some really rave reviews about it.
Yeah, it did really well.
Yeah, and that's the kind of movie that, and I like Christopher Nolan. I think he's a fantastic director, and it's the kind of a movie that I'd like to watch in a movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah, Dunkirk did well on the weekend. Valerian,
yeah.
Did not so good. I don't know. It looked good to me, but I don't know. People just, you know, pick and choose, whatever. I don't know. It's hard.
Picking and choosing.
Yeah.
Speaking of picking and choosing.
Good segue.
Good segue. I think many Christians can sort of resonate with this. Have you done this before? You know, whenever I had to make a decision, even just for fun or whatever, I would just flip open the Bible in a random place and point at it blindly and see what it said. Have you done stuff like that, Terry?
For sure.
Yeah.
I wanted to know God was talking to me. So,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah, we do things like that too.
Yeah. And so there's that story that's sometimes told, right, about this one person who did just that, but the Bible kept saying, you know, hung himself basically. And then he's like, oh, no, I got to do this again. And then it says, go do likewise.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And then I'm like, no, this can't be it. So he does it again. And says, whatever you're going to do, do quickly.
And yeah.
So, I mean, it's probably not the most, shall we say, as Christians, the most spiritually mature thing to do. But sometimes you find that sort of coincidence and you find some meaning in it, right? And in fact, Terry, you shared with me an article, Coincidences and Meaning. So Julie Beck from The Atlantic tells the story of how she went to Cedar Point, like the theme park the Midwestern middle school bands frequented, you know, for their field trips and things like that. And there she lost $134. But then a little more than a year later, she goes to Michigan State University. And there she overhears somebody talking about how he went to this theme park that year. And turns out this was the guy who picked up the $134.
He lost the $134.
He
picked it up.
Oh, he lost it. She picked it up.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So she heard that from a conversation that was going on beside her.
Right, right. So what are the chances that this would happen
over a year later? Yeah, that's right.
you come to, and you just happened to overhear this conversation.
Very close right? by, yeah.
And it was that person who lost $134.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
He was recalling exactly, yeah.
Now, the thing is, when something like that happens, the article would say that people tend to kind of read into it, right? Whoa, you know, like, what does this mean?
I don't know about you, but I've had a few lately coincidences that kind of really kind of get me thinking, you know? I mean, I'll tell you one that just happened, what, last month? I was in a race called the Spartan Race.
You're even wearing this shirt.
Yeah, that was not
a coincidence?
That was a coincidence. One of my last t-shirts left in my closet kind of thing. But I was at a Spartan race. This is in Vancouver on Mount Seymour. I get into the block where the people are, you know, waiting to head off the start line. I happen to be one of the last people jumping over the fence to get in there. Another guy comes in. And he comes up to me, and immediately I notice that he looks Native. He actually started talking to me right away, and he just asked me about the race the day before because I was in that race as well. And so we get talking, and he's like,
"Now, did he know you were half Cree,
no.
or did he recognize you right
no.
away? Because you were telling me that you often get confused." For say Italian.
Yeah, mostly right? Italian.
Mostly
yeah.
Italian.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, he just came up, friendly guy, you know, he was asking me about the race the day before. He's just wondering how the landscape looked kind of stuff. And then he said he did the Spartan sprint the week before in Montreal. And I just said, "Oh, are you from Montreal?" He says, "No, I just did the race there." I said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "Well, I'm from Northern Quebec." And that tweaked my interest right away. And I said, "Well, my mom's visiting in Northern Quebec right now." I said, "She is in Waswanapi, Quebec, which is our reserve where she's from." And the guy looks at me, he says, "I'm from Waswanapi."
So he's Cree.
He's Cree. He's from Northern Quebec, from Waswanapi.
Wow.
And so we get talking. He knows my aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. And he knows another guy that I regularly text out there with. And it turns out that this guy, Jeff, he knew this guy's father from school. So this whole coincidence
wow.
happening in Vancouver on a hill at Mount Seymour mm-hmm. at a Spartan race.
Right.
I look at that and I go, how does this happen?
I guess you were probably more asking, like, what are the chances of this happening?
Right.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, you could probably kind of tell, well, I can see how this might happen in terms of, yeah, you know, it's not like you're just coming across each other in just out in the middle of nowhere, you know, in Northwest Territories or something like that. This is not too far from a major urban center. There is an event happening. You could probably figure out, trace the events and figure out how this might happen. But still, the odds of you running into somebody like that who's from the same
reserve,
right? Yeah,
knows my aunts and uncles.
Yeah, on the other side of the country.
On the other side of the country.
Yeah.
So that gets me thinking, like, why, you know, for me, I mean, is that something that is, I don't really know, actually, why that happened. You know, a lot of Christians would maybe put something into it.
Yeah.
I kind of have put it on the shelf in the sense that I'm not sure. I mean, it's a fun story.
Mm-hmm. And I think the article that you shared with me from The Atlantic, they're mostly talking about, well, at least at the beginning, it'll talk about how, you know, coincidences happen. You know, any improbable events can occur when there is a large enough sort of sample, right? And we see this sort of thing happen all the time. For example, you know, somebody wins the lottery ticket or somebody wins the jackpot. I mean, it's improbable that, you know, this one person would win, you know, have this exact combination of numbers and win the jackpot. But we do know from our experience that this thing happens all the time.
I was interested in the article because it kind of brought out this whole mathematical probability thing. Mm. But then it went into the talking about those who are most susceptible to try to find meaning in these coincidences. And they certainly list religious or spiritual people mm-hmm. and meaning-seeking people.
Before I get into it further, I wanted to also share an experience.
Yes.
In my second year at Columbia Bible College, and after the second year, actually, Columbia Bible College always sends out a missions team, and I was on that team. We went over to Costa Rica, and we were helping with all kinds of like manual labor things, you know, digging out households and helping them build stuff and all that kind of stuff. But I remember it was the day before we were leaving this particular town. It was Saturday evening, I remember, and I was in the guy's room by myself. Everybody else had gone out doing whatever, playing soccer or something. And I remember I was there and I was praying, and I said, these were the exact words, "Lord, open the eyes of my heart so that I can see the spiritual reality behind the physical things." Mm. Right? Those were the exact words.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward, the next morning we had a church service right there in town. And there was this gentleman, Indalecio was his name, and he was sort of emceeing the whole thing. At the end of the service, I happened to be praying with him through an interpreter. There was an intern from the U.S. who was there. Through her, he told me, "I have a word for you from the Lord." I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Give it to me, right? And this is what he said. "The Lord says that he is going to open your spiritual eyes so that you can see the spiritual reality behind the physical things."
Yeah.
Those were the exact words that
the
intern said to me.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I mean, it's not verbatim, you know. Yeah. I said, open the eyes of my heart. And she said, you know, "The Lord will open your spiritual eyes." But I'm like, well, that's pretty synonymous, because that's exactly what I meant when I was praying it. But again, that's one of those like coincidence things, right? I'm like, wow, what are the chances of that happening?
Yeah.
Especially, and I think this is important, especially given the sort of the religiously charged context, right, where I was praying to God and I could sort of expect God to work in a certain way, and it came through. Now, that quote-unquote coincidence seems a little different to me than if I were to just kind of come across somebody who shares my birthday or something like that. In fact, I know like three or four people that share my birthdays or whatever. And when I met them for the first time, it was like, wow, that's quite the coincidence. This coincidence doesn't speak to anything in particular, whereas the prayer that I said and what was given to me the next day, especially when the guy claimed, you know, "Here is a word from the Lord." Now, that's a bit different. This is a religiously significant.
I think we have to be cautious in the sense of looking at coincidences. In your situation, we had you going hard after God and wanting what his will was. These other occurrences that kind of happen daily. And I like the article because it talked about a statistical probability that you're talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it happens more than we realize. And I think you said that as well.
Right. But it's just that when it happens to you especially.
To us, yeah,
right.
Specifically, mm-hmm. It becomes more meaningful and it's more directed inward to ourselves. Like, wow, this happened to me. So, I mean, it's hard to discern if this is something from God or something that we are just feeling in ourselves, I guess.
That's something that really stuck out to me was, you know, from an apologetic standpoint, can we use this to say, for example, God exists? Or, you know, I think at some point you probably could. That's what the fine-tuning argument is about, in a sense, right? In a sense, you could say that there is this very coincidental, quote-unquote coincidental thing that happened, such that, you know, of all the possible arrangement of the universe, so to speak, there is this extremely narrow spectrum where intelligent life is possible, and we just so happen to be observing all of these values and constants in the universe that fall right within that range. All of these things that are independent of each other, mind you, right? The amount of entropy and the nuclear force and all of that stuff. And at some point, you come to realize, okay, this is the fine-tuning argument, right? This either happened by chance, or this is physically necessary, or there's some kind of a design going on here, some kind of an intention. Somebody arranged this in an intentional way so that this very improbable thing has occurred. And if you are going to go for, you know, the chance explanation that this is just sheer chance, then it's just so improbable that it's irrational to accept, right? Just as if we're playing poker together and I pull out Royal Straight Flush like 10 times in a row, you're not just going to sit there and think, well, yeah, you know, this is logically possible. No, you're probably going to think that I cheated. There is some kind of an intentional design happening, so to speak, right? So where I'm going with this is that I don't think, unless the improbability is that to that degree, right? I don't think we can say, well, this coincidence happened and therefore God exists. Especially something, for example, what I said earlier about my experience with Indalecio giving me a word from the Lord and how it matched almost verbatim what I had prayed the day before, that sort of a thing, I'm not going to use that as a way to prove God's existence, for example.
Yeah.
Right? It is rather because I think God exists, and I believe that because of other independent reasons, like the Kalam cosmological argument and a bunch of other things, you know, our moral experience, so on and so forth. And because I believe already that God exists, when something like this happens, I think I'm justified in reading into it a bit. Now, I would try to be careful, right?
Yeah.
And not just kind of run with it. I have a lot of friends who are sort of in that charismatic kind of an environment. Thankfully, a lot of my friends are very mature Christians too.
Yeah.
So they're not the type of people that will just kind of jump on it and say, you know, at the sign of first perceived coincidence, they're like, thus says the Lord, and that's how it's going to be. You know, they don't do that. What we were taught, we had some pretty mature Christians guiding us through it, and I'm thankful for it. What we were taught was just put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
You know, if this is important enough, God will give you more sort of nudges and winks and...
Yeah. And I think I've done that with the instance that I told you about, the guy that I met at the race. Because I think, okay, Jeff in Waswanapi that I text often, he's on fire for God. So is there going to be some more connection, you know, with this guy, you know, in the sense that he will be able to talk with, I don't know.
Yeah.
What's going to happen there? I let Jeff know that I met this guy and he knows him. And, you know, I.
Maybe something will come of that.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
So there's something there in that one, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then I'll relay another one to you that I think is just a coincidence. Okay. We were driving into Salt Lake City on a trip down to Phoenix to visit my brother, stopped at a gas station. I see this police car coming up behind us.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh boy. Should I run? No, I'm not guilty. So he stops and he gets out of his car right behind me. He says, oh, I notice you have BC plates. I say, yeah, we're from British Columbia up in Canada. Oh, okay, yeah, I know where it is. And he's like, where do you live? And I say, I live in Abbotsford. He says, wow, that's interesting. Do you know, he said a name, I can't remember if it was a he or she, they're realtors up in Abbotsford, Canada.
Wow.
And they are my relation. I can't remember what he said, cousins or aunt or uncle or something like that. I can't remember exactly what he said. To me, that is just a coincidence. Yeah, it's kind of like unreal in the sense like, what are the odds, right?
Right.
In Salt Lake City, at a gas station, somebody, a police officer pulls up. He knows somebody in Abbotsford, Canada. I don't have anything spiritual to put into that one.
For all we know, there is nothing spiritual attached to it.
Right.
And if there is, who knows? Maybe other things might happen that will kind of point you to a rationally justifiable conclusion that, okay, there might be something happening behind it here. Maybe God is orchestrating something. But again, like you wouldn't jump at that first coincidence and go, But actually, funny story to go with that is I know this guy, Calvin, that, again, I went to Columbia Bible College with, his First Nations guy from up in Smithers, British Columbia. Smithers is, for those of you listeners who are not familiar with the BC geography, it's farther up north from here. And it's a pretty small town. And he happened to be visiting down in the States, I think just across the border from here in Washington State. And he met a gentleman and he said, "Oh, you're from Canada, eh? You know, and do you know so and so in Canada?" And it turns out the guy that he was talking about, Calvin did know.
Oh,
so yeah. It's like, okay, you're not helping with the stereotype here. But and again, something like that happened. Does that mean, you know, God exists? I'm like, well, no, there is no real like religious significance to it. This is not the kind of a situation where we might reasonably expect God to be involved in it in any sort of a religiously significant way. So I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem to me a very important thing.
Do we find anything in the Bible that talks about this?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? We find the practice of casting lots.
Casting lots,
In Proverbs 16:33, I think.
Yeah.
What does it say there?
Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord."
Casting lots, from what little I've read, one of the sort of the upsides to it, it had a pragmatic function, which was you would cast the lots to select the next high priest, for example, which if that were to happen, people couldn't really argue with it, right? It's impartial. You couldn't accuse whoever cast the lots of, you know, nepotism or favoritism or whatever, right? Yeah. It's just impartial. And so it served a pragmatic function that way.
Well, let's mention Luke 10:31, and it states this: "Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side."
Yeah, that's the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Yeah. So according to the Greek wording in this, this is more of a instance, a coincidence, happenstance that was orchestrated by God.
Yeah. And that seems to be the overall view of the Bible, right?
Yeah. When
what we consider to be chance
is
often not chance. For example, when Ruth goes to work, it turns out where she was working belonged to her kinsman redeemer Boaz. I remember taking the Hebrew, suicide Hebrew, of course, with Ken Esau over at Columbia Bible College there. The wording there is literally chanced that Ruth was at Boaz's field working there, right?
Yeah.
And so there, basically what the author is trying to convey is, you know, wink, wink, this isn't really chance.
Yeah.
Right? God is orchestrating this.
Yeah.
And in fact, later in the New Testament, you see Ruth's name in the genealogy.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is not just chance. This was orchestrated by God.
I mean, I think we'd both adhere to God's providence. I mean, but we also believe in free will as well. So, I mean, even when we talk about all the counterfactuals that God knows about your personal life, it is so intertwined and so many threads to bring about certain situations in everybody's life. So it seems to me that these coincidences could happen more easily.
Maybe. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure if I agree or disagree on that. Because in a sense, if you just kind of let things unfold, so to speak, there will eventually be overlaps somewhere, whatever that may look like. At the same time, I understand that God is sovereign and nothing escapes his design, so to speak. Even a sparrow doesn't fall from the sky without God knowing about it.
Right.
Right. And so, yes, I understand that. Now, where I have trouble is that I think it's a logical leap to say that because everything is under God's control, therefore every perceived coincidence is something that God has attached a particular significance to. It
or
might
meaning,
just be that God just permitted free agents to do whatever, and this just happened to overlap.
Yeah.
I think God can certainly arrange certain things to happen in a very particular way that's meaningful. I am not sure if every encounter is like that. So what I'm saying is, you know, if I happen to drop my keys, I did that a couple times this morning for some reason. I was just clumsy, I guess.
Yeah.
Does that mean that God, this is a very significant thing that I should pay attention to because God is, So that's the kind of the logical leap that I'm not too sure about. And I think I don't think that's what you're saying, but
yeah, this is, it's just very interesting to me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I brought the article to you and it just, I think as Christians, we always look for the positive ones, right?
What do you mean?
We say this happened and it was God's will because it was a positive interaction. But I think there's coincidences that happen that are not positive.
No, there are.
And they happen all around us. Mm-hmm. But most of the time as Christians, we look for the positive ones, right? Yeah. So what about a Christian that horrible situation, the singer Chapman, I forget his first name.
Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Yeah. His son ran over their adopted daughter, right? That is a circumstance.
In a car, right?
As he was backing out.
Yeah.
That seems to be a coincidence in the sense that she was there at the wrong time and he backed over. I mean, we look at those instances and say,
Christians typically wouldn't want to attribute that to God.
Right. You know, but ultimately, God could use any circumstance for his glory in the end. My other point, too, would be coincidence happened to non-Christians as well. I mean, in this article, it lists these guys collect all these coincidences from people. And a lot of the stories that they have in here don't mention God at all.
Yeah.
There was one where, you know, they were just on a road. They got a flat tire. They're on a canoe trip. They happened to go to a tree nearby. They didn't have a wrench to unlock the lug nuts. Mm. And while they were sitting at the tree, they found a wrench that was buried in the dirt. This is a story that was relayed through this article, right? No mention of God.
Who are they giving thanks
to at that point in time?
Right.
They're just going, wow.
So that's why I'm saying, like, apologetically speaking, right, you wouldn't want to use the sort of a coincidence to argue for the existence of God or something like that.
Yeah.
But if God were to exist, which you and I both believe he does, then you can look at that and go, maybe. I mean, I'm not entirely sure. I would need more on this instance, more information on this instance, or see anything else connecting with it in a very improbable kind of a way to see if this has any religious significance. But if God exists, I mean, the door is open that this is not just some random coincidence, right?
Yeah.
This is actually a way of God communicating with this person in whatever way he sees fit.
I mean, I think as we have this deep relationship with God and are walking in the Spirit, I think we discern those instances more clearly as we come along. I mean, you get a sense in your spirit, you get a sense that God could be in this situation, I think more so than if that relationship wasn't as close.
After a while, you recognize that person's voice. You know, this sort of thing typically happens. You get a call from somebody, a friend that you recently met, and this is the first time you're talking to the friend on the phone, and you don't recognize the voice. But as time goes on, you do that more and more. Then, you know, your friend calls you immediately. You recognize, oh, that's so and so. Right. And I think it's the same thing as we walk with God, you know, like we learn to discern better and better. I mean, I don't think it happens just automatically, so to speak, but you do need to put some effort into it. I think you need to saturate yourself with the Word of God and so on and so forth. So you kind of, I'm not saying that your salvation depends on it, so that's not at all what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think you do need to put some effort into it in that way so that you acquaint yourself better and better, go deeper and deeper with God.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap up there. I'm sure we can go on to any number of tangents here, but we'll stop here. Thank you for joining us, listeners. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada, and we'll come back next week with more stuff to think about. And thank you again for those listeners who gave us a good review on iTunes, and we ask that if you haven't done so, we ask that you would maybe consider doing that for us. It really helps. Thank you again. See you next week.